Okay. I see a variety of people getting together here, so I'm trying to give more time on the... How do I... This one? Okay. So I try to give more time on the overview part, and meanwhile, I see a little bit experts on this system, so I try to be very brief on this, but I need it for, because my title has it. So define the problem, I explain very briefly, and quickly get into the more details. So, just before I left Toronto, I started to work on this information science field, and this Q stands for quantum part of information. And so this is a very interdisciplinary field, so this is another reason I enjoy being here, because I see so many people from so many different fields. And recently, this field is boosted further, because not only the fundamental scientists, such as bio people, chemists, there are applied science people, such as computer scientists or engineers. So there are a wide variety of applications, which is so-called information technology or quantum information technology. In this field, the fundamental property of the system obtained by pure scientists also proved to be useful for improving a more technological quality of, say, spectroscopy and interferometers. This has a very long history, but as well as quantum communication fields using, for instance, quantum mechanical system, or computation, which is claimed to be significantly speed up by using a quantum mechanical system. So fundamental science has also found its direct applicability. Picking up one specific example, using this quantum mechanical computer, which is started by Feynman and other people in the 1980s, and people were very interested in, but at the same time, there's no real computer built up of a quantum mechanics, so a lot of people left after that. But there was a breakthrough by Peter Shor, who is a computer scientist as well as a mathematician, considered the algorithm which can factorize the very large numbers, which has a significant application in cryptography field. So there's a mass, which is first implication to using a chemical system, using the NMR. And so which this field has a very rapid progress, and the factorization which is realized is only 15. This is 4 years ago. So people said, this is just toy model and I can do it by hand. And but the recent NMR interpretations has is capable of factorizing very large numbers, probably many of you are aware of, and this is already beyond I can do by hand. So if you look at this progress, this is just one example. And the recently, experimental chemists achieved the condensation of molecular ensembles by BC. You can put these molecular systems on a quantum wire. And this is a collaboration by the Innsbruck group with the Yale group. So we are sort of getting to the regime of a hybrid system and of a chemical system with the other technological system. And this is actually not directly related to the rest of my talk. So if it's an ordinary meeting, I shouldn't be talking about this. But since Ray's here, and because this is a very special occasion, I just want to mention this, just a few words. Basically, people are trying to simulate a fictitious particle which obeys exotic statistic in that the exchange of two position of two particles, depending on whether you exchange them counterclockwise or clockwise, they require a different phase. In other words, the system can be, the trajectory of these particles can be used as a representation of a Braid groups. And the Braid group has, a unitary representation, so-called a Hecke representation. And because of this correspondence, you can do the ordinary computation operations. Okay, I'm talking about the quantum part of computation, not the DNA computing. And quantum gates can be realized as nothing. Okay, so that's it for the not part. And now I'm going to start defining the problem. Okay, so they have very fancy, you know, schemes about the factorization and so on. It's very beautiful mathematics. But at the same time, what's most important in terms of actually building it is that you need to consider the dissipation and especially the decoherence coming from an environment. So you have to look at this really carefully without too much of a phenomenological application. So it goes back to very, simple question, basic question such as how to quantize dissipative system to begin with. And so one typical problem which can be tackled in many ways, the so-called quantum Brownian motion model, which has been studied for many years. And this is a so-called harmonic Brownian motion model. This can be a harmonic, or you can introduce a mode coupling and so on. So there are many variety of those. And this is basically what I call as a quantum Brownian motion model. And that model, is I like it very much because it can be naturally extended to the, for instance, MD simulation with the help of computer, and you can solve the same master equation as you see on the birthday cake yesterday, or you can also use a path integral with, you know, some applications. So you can, with this model, you can look at the generic open system, which is known. So that's that's the region I'm trying to go to. Okay. So I'm trying to get into more details. So I put non-Markovian in my title, so I should explain why do I have to look at non-Markovian. The forward tolerance, we are looking at the, for instance, the application of the quantum controls. You have a sort of a teacher distribution of quantum ensemble which want to approach the actual quantum control. And there is always an error. So you need to build up the error correction scheme in quantum regime. And the forward tolerance requires very low noise and very fast operation. So low noise, to be achievable, you have to cool the system to very low temperature. In an electric system, say, it's like a 10 Kelvin, which is as cold as you can get by using a dilution refrigerator. And at a molecular system, you can cool into some nano-Kelvin regions. And also, because of a fast gate operation, you have to look at the very ultra-short time scale. So these are the regimes in which actually Markov approximation is not considered to be valid. So you have to study the dynamics of the open system without using Markov approximations. So that's the my motivation. And so this is the model I studied with Ray some years back. And this I studied the two-level system coupled with the continuous variable, which is submerged in a medium, which I model as the oscillator bus. Okay. So you can trace out the oscillator bus to study the dynamics of a coupled system. Both can be set to arbitrary condition, initial condition. And we're trying to study the all dynamics completely quantum mechanically. So we look at the decoherence factor. By looking at by studying the decoherence factor, we observe the transient crossover behavior from coupled particle, both said to be quantum mechanical, to the regime in which one particle, which is directly coupled or back, behaves like classical mechanically. So this is the regime in which you can mimic the model of the dynamics by using mixed quantum classical system. And eventually, the decoherence is very robust, such that the older dynamics becomes characterized by classical dynamics. So that's the bus. That's when the bus is modeled as the ohmic bus, so-called ohmic bus. And this is the same system with the same initial condition, but the bus is modeled as a so-called super-ohmic bus. In this case, there's a sort of qualitative difference in which even though the particle which is directly coupled to the bus behaves like quantum classical mechanically because of the coherence. The particle which is not directly coupled to the bus behaves quantum mechanically, in this case, indefinitely. So in this case, the mixed quantum classical dynamics is a perfect description for indefinite amount of time. So, and so another thing is this is also a very typical model, which is which describes the dissipative dynamics of pseudo spins or quantum dips. And so, however, the this has infinite degrees of freedom, and even though the subsystem has only two levels, this is the dynamics actually nonlinear. So it's very difficult to solve. It's impossible to solve without applications, approximations. So, but by looking at this problem in a slightly different way, in other words, you embed the two-level system. Instead of making application approximations, you embed the two-level system by adding more level to make it to a harmonic oscillator. That model is has the form of a quantum Brownian oscillator model that I showed earlier, which is just a bunch of, well, infinite amounts of oscillators. So by definition, this model is exactly solvable. So after you embed the nonlinear system into the linear system by adding more phase space, you can solve the dynamics exactly. And then less of the less of the thing you have to do is how you retrieve the solutions of original dynamics. And there is a, this is a little technical scheme, but this is actually how people obtain artificial two-level system. For instance, you start from a particle moving in a nonlinear potential as this, and you cool the system enough such that the only lowest two levels appreciable, populated. So this can be used as a pseudo spin. And so actually the setting, artificial setting that they introduced actually describes the natural setting of obtaining artificial two-level system. So I solved that the quantum Brownian oscillator model exactly and lower the temperature. And this is a, also a decay factor. This is a decay factor which has only a constant value if you make a two-level Markov approximation. Okay. However, you can do the exact dynamics. You can solve the exact dynamics and take a lowest low temperature limit. Then this exact decay rate oscillates very rapidly initially and smallly and small becomes small in a later time and converges to Markov value. So this is the dynamic, essential dynamics, which is visible in exact solutions. And at the same time, this maybe it's not clear by this scale, but eventually converges to Markov value in a long time if you assume an ohmic environment. So so that means actually this level reduction showing a diagram in two slides before is actually a good strategy. And this only works for very low temperature. And if you raise the temperature, there is a deviation between exact dynamics by approximating by harmonic oscillator because you have more levels and that can be excited if the temperature is not exactly zero. So there is a deviation between exact value with a two-level Markov approximated value of a decay rate. So that's that. Okay, so now another topic is entanglement. In fact, I'd like to, I'm very happy to lay this with the beautiful talk by Duitt Samnes 2 hours ago. And this is not a topological entanglement, but this is what I call the quantum entanglement. And, you know, if I just showed the slides about the knot and computation. And if you use a correspondence, there may be a correspondence between a quantum mechanical entanglement with topological entanglement. That's one of the very hot area of study right now. And but this originated in the very early days of Einstein, 35. I don't know if there's any earlier quotes in this meeting than 35, but this is not 35. He, as we know, in the first course in quantum mechanics, he really didn't like quantum mechanics. So he didn't believe that was a correct, complete description of physical reality. So physical reality, according to him, which is a very common sense of everybody's concept of a reality that doesn't allow the space-like separated events to collide each other. So if you look at the particle which decay into two pieces and measure the spin of this particle at one side along this direction, at that direction, A and B, and measure the spin of a second particle along this direction and that direction, B and D, and the correlation between these measurement results, if you use a classical mechanics, has a bound, which is called a bearing, this inequality is called Bell's inequality, everybody knows. But now later, it was extended to this inequality. Now it's called a CHSH inequality. And this is a very early emergence of a discussion about the quantum entanglement. And So by looking at this, this is a CHSH inequality, but you can do the same correlation calculation using quantum mechanics, because we know quantum mechanics. And you can look at the bounds, which is different from a classical mechanical bound. So that means the quantum correlation can be very large such that it violates the classical correlation bounds. And that's what it found. And the excessive amount of entanglement, which is basically this value subtracted this value, is what is called presently the quantum entanglement. So that's a very old issue. So, you know, one may think there's nothing you could do. It's too, you know, everything is done. So it was, so I could have said that there's nothing can be done if you'd asked the same question 20 years ago. Indeed, 20 years ago, there was no paper left written on this. This is a number of paper, I thought it, and taken from a Los Alamos archive. But the number of paper increases not exponentially, but looks like linearly. And last year, the number of paper on this topic exceeds more than 1,000. It doesn't give me more than 1,000 reference papers in the computer search that I made. But this year, up to May, there are 828 papers written on this topic. So there was a revival of the very old topic. And I guess my time is up, so I'm going to skip some mathematics. And so in a realistic system context, basically we're interested in a dissipative system. So we look at this quantum Brownian motion model and try to study the oscillator entanglement shared by two oscillators submerged in a bus, which I mimicked by oscillator bus. So this is the model. And turns out to be this is also exactly solvable. So we can study the quantum classical correspondence of a quantum entanglement by following the correlation function, which, I write something, but don't worry about this. This is a measure of entanglement. And if it's larger than zero, means the system loses its entanglement. If it's it has a negative value, that means the system has an entanglement. And depending on the initial condition, which I set to be a two-mode coherent state as initial condition, it stays, which doesn't have a quantum entanglement initially, stays as an acceptable state indefinitely. And if you assume the initial quantum state to be an entangled state, this is so-called a two-mode squeezed state. And due to the effect of bus and decoherence effect, this loses a quantum correlation rapidly, and there is a crossover between quantum state and classical state, which manifests in a correlation function. So generic environment is always entangled. That you can sort of prove mathematically very easy. So generic evolution of correlation starts on some entanglement somewhere and follow the trajectory and settle into a separable state. That's at least the study at the quantum Brownian oscillator model that I studied showed. And in some cases, that settles down to the thermal value. And in some cases, it doesn't. So that's the another thing to clarify. I guess time is up. So I studied the non-equilibrium dynamics quantum body motion, a very low temperature limit. And we also identified the regime where mixed quantum classical dynamics emerges from quantum system in a quantum environment. Okay, so that sets the criteria in which when we can use the mixed quantum classical approximation. And we see that non-equilibrium effects manifest in a short time on a low temperature regime, and that regime doesn't exist for a generic environment for instance, the system suffered from one of F9s. And so due to the decoherence effect, there is a crossover over behavior between entanglement state and the separable state. Thank you very much.